worship of our previous gurus, the parampara systems, to the Lordship and to the devotees, so that we don't commit any offense like speaking on the Bhagavatam. We also pray that we are always reminded that our objective is only to glorify the Lord and His pure devotees and nothing else. Om Ajnana Tirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurvimukam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Tadati Swapadantitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sakujatam Sadhana Raghunathanditam Tamsa Jeevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Harijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Radha Sadhana Radhita Shri Vishakandhitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Shilabhadram Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Chanda Adapasta Namaste Sanchana Gaurangi Rade Vrinda Vaneshwari Vishabhanamasute Devi Karamani Harishwari Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakrishe Namaha वाचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धु जनेभ्यः पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वशिष्ठेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे देवीशेषस्तुयवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीमत्सादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Goswami is clearly describing the mood in which we must speak the Bhagavatam. In spite of being a fully realized devotee, he is still begging very humbly to the Lord to decorate his statements. First of all, so that he can present the truth properly, and secondly, because so that even the hearer can understand it properly. He is so compassionate. We see a lot of so-called material advancement all around us, especially in the last 100 to 200 years. It's because of industrialization and technological advancement, our lives have changed dramatically. And we are quite proud of that. Our lives have changed from a comparatively peaceful, simple and God-conscious lives to very anxious, complicated and materially conscious lives. And this is called civilization. So man, like the general, what we learn in history is man is becoming more and more civilized. When I was in school, we had a debate on is man civilized or not. Unfortunately, you know, at that time, I represented the team who said man is civilized. And we even won the debate, actually. Later on, I came in touch with Prabhupada's book, and that we realized that it's totally wrong, you know. We are going in the opposite direction. So we just know that we are not civilized, but we are in the process of realizing it. So there's a story, you know, about a group of scientists. You know, they over the years, you know, seeing all this advancement, they think they're doing very well, you know. They're coming close to creating beings, cloning of genes and all these things. And they create living beings as they want them to be. That is their perception. So the scientists, they all came together and said, oh, this is very good, you know. We are coming close to God. So then they decided to have a conference. After long discussion, they decided that it's time for God to step down, you know, and for them to take over. So then they decided to appoint one representative scientist to approach God, you know, and challenge him in the modern Hiranyakashipu. So he went to see God, and he told God, you know, he presented his case, you know, nowadays they have this PowerPoint presentations and all. So he presented his whole case and he wanted to convince God that it's high time he gives up, you know. I mean, he didn't go with swords and all that, like Hiranyakashipu. So he went and so God, you know, was patiently, he listened to the whole thing, saw the presentation, and then he asked the scientist, now what do you want? So the scientist said that we all have had a lengthy discussion, and we consider that it's time, you know, like we have greater creative powers, and it's time for you to step down, you know. So the Lord says, so are you challenging me to this? So the scientist says, yes, I'm challenging you to this. So the Lord says, okay, so let us, since you are challenging me, now you show me, you know, you have given me all this presentation, now you create something by which you can prove that you are superior to me. So the scientist says, okay, and he bends down, you know, and he picks up the mud. So the Lord says, hold on, you know, just hold on. This is what happened. This mud, you are picking up this mud for me? Yes, I'm picking it up. I'm going to create and show you something. But this mud is created by me, you know, it belongs to me. So how can you use what I have already created? So then the scientist, he drops the mud and he thinks for some time, and then he gives up and he goes back to again further think and, you know, make his next presentation. So they gave up. So this is our general attitude of the so-called intelligent people. But the real intelligence is what? Real intelligence is to understand that all the matter around us is dead. There is absolutely no life in it. There's no life. See, there are two persons talking to each other, and one person just falls down and dies. So what does the other person do? immediately he gets, you know, first, like he turns around and he run away from the dead person. First of all, he's scared, you know, that somebody has become lifeless. The friend with whom he was talking about, he's become lifeless. So, the understanding, I mean, that life comes from matter is wrong intelligence. Real intelligence is to understand that life doesn't come from matter. So the dead person has all the senses, has all organs. He was just alive a few seconds back, but now he's dropped dead. Why? So, because there is no life in it. There is no spiritual spark. There is no soul in it, which is life. Imagine this whole material creation with no life in it. Absolutely dull, drab matter. You know, it seems very, very scary actually. The whole everything, suppose everything is dead, matter is just lying around. It's very scary. But the moment life enters the matter, then immediately there is joy, there is cheerfulness, there is dynamism, there is activity. These are the symptoms of the soul. So where does this come from? Where does this life come from? Avatar. Avatar means one who descends from the higher spiritual sky. Avatar. Avataran. Avataran is to descend actually. In the spiritual sky, there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets. Innumerable. And from such a planet, the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he descends, comes to the universe. The first descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the expansion of Sankarsana is the Purusha incarnation. And this incarnation is the Mahavishnu incarnation. So as soon as he appears, he manifests the 16 elementary energies, which is described in the purport. So he is the Mahavishnu lying in the causal ocean. He is the original incarnation in the material world. And he is independent of all, he is independent, he is Swaraj, independent of all objects movable and immovable in this universe. Now the first Purusha in avatar, Mahavishnu, what does he do? He glances over the material nature, and which agitates the material nature, and then impregnates it with all the living entities. So the vacuum which is mentioned in the material universe, this vacuum is because everything is dead, there is no life. So this vacuum is filled by the Lord. There are 16 elements consisting of the five great elements, that is Bhumi, Apo, Anala, Vayu and Kham. Earth, water, fire, sky and ether. And then there are the 11 sense organs. Five are the knowledge acquiring senses, that is the eyes, the ears, the nose, tongue and the skin. And then there are the five working senses, which is voice, legs, hands, anus and the genitals. Then above the senses is the mind, which is within and is called the sense within. So totally these are the 16 elements. Other than this, there is false ego, intelligence and the unmanifested modes of material nature. So all these together, they form the 24 elements. The human body is formed of 24 elements. And so does the entire material universe. And whatever we see in this world is an interaction of these 24 elements. But all this is temporary. manifested and gets manifested, unmanifested, again manifested and unmanifested. So this is, that's why we call it illusion. The so-called intelligent people think that this is the be-all and end-all, and they keep on endeavoring in this world. And without any purpose. So little knowing that everything is acting under the three modes of material nature. Sattva, Rajas and Tamaguna. Each sense organ, everything, whatever we see here is under the influence of one of the three modes or a mix of all the three modes. When we act under these three modes, there will be only misunderstanding, fighting. That's what we see in this world, in this so-called civilized world. Everyone is acting under the influence of these three modes, and it is increasing day by day. As our technology advances more and more, it's becoming even worse. This advancement has not brought us anything. No peace of mind. Previously, people used to chant with tulsi. They used to have tulsi beads in their hands, you know, and they used to keep chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And now what do they have? They have blackberries. You know? So they keep scrolling up and down, at day and night. They keep looking at the blackberries. You know? And even when you're speaking to them, they'll be looking at the blackberries. You know, it's become a habit actually, checking emails and all that. But we can purify these blackberries actually by installing database, by putting lectures, kirtans. So there's a better use of blackberries actually. This is good use of technology, Krishna conscious. And these modes which cause this fighting, it's not only physical fighting which we see all over the world, you know. It's also mental. Even in our minds, we are always struggling, you know. Always, there is some tension going on. This person like this, he behaves like this, he behaves like that. And you know, why this is happening, why this conflict. All the conflicts keep on going, you know. Up, down, up, down. So tremendous stress and strain is created in relationships. But we are always, you know, looking for something. We are always looking for something to satisfy ourselves, looking for happiness, which we'll never get. We will never get the true satisfaction. We'll never get in this world. So we are like the children who are always asking for something at all times. We want this, we want that. So like a loving father, Krishna has created this whole material universe for us. Okay, he says, okay, you get it beautiful, you just enjoy here, you know. But along with all this, he's also made all arrangements which will force us to go back to him. Because he's a loving father, you know. A father doesn't want to be separated from his children. So he wants him to come back. He's made all this nicely, but there are certain aspects here which will make us go back to him. Because the nature of this world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. So there is always misery. So the only way to go back to the Lord is to rise above these modes of material nature. So this, there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mamcha yogya vicharena yena sevate sa gunan samati chaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Please repeat. Mamcha yogya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samati chaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Mamcha yogya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate. One who serves the Lord with devotion without fail, avya vicharena, Sagunam Samatishyan, he transcends the mood. He transcends the mood. And Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpati. So, he transcends all the three modes, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So, this is the process. So, in this, when we are struggling in these three modes, you know, we are really suffering actually. The only way is to come out of it. And how to come out? Is Bhakti Yoga in a Seva. This is the solution. Only in this way can all this misunderstanding, fighting, all this can stop. We will then become Surit. Surit is a friend to all living entities. By transcending all these modes, we become Surit. So this is a nice word for friend in Bhagavatam. So this way, we have a heart-to-heart contact with living entities and with Krishna. So in this world, it's like a dog-eat-dog world, you know. So then if we see someone below us, we push him down even more, actually. That's the tendency. So take advantage. You see, there's a developed country, and then there's a developing country. The developed country tries to take full advantage. It'll take all its waste, you know, nuclear waste, and dump in the waters of the developing country. So this is the tendency in this material world. But once we transcend the material world, once we develop the Surit, we become Surit, then we become compassionate to the people. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Patitanam pavanebhyo, patit, who are below us, who are in a poorer condition, we must pick them up. We must pick them up. In the material world, what do? We pick them, correct? We must not kick them, we must pick them up. This is the way recommended. These are the qualities of a Vaishnava. Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. We must pick up someone who is fallen before us, below us. Isn't this a nice and simple solution, you know? Bhakti Yoga. So we rise about this. In the verses 13:8-12, Krishna has described in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has described what is knowledge. And in this, he's given 20 points, you know. And out of that, Prabhupada stresses that only unalloyed devotional service is the main thing in this. Mahi chananiya bhakti avyabhicharini. That is, without deviation, and without a break, we must have unalloyed devotional service. If we do this, then we get all the qualities. All the qualities, rest of the 19 qualities, which is described in the verse in the chapter 13:8-12. Our different qualities are humility, pridelessness, forgiveness, approaching a spiritual master. All this, if it doesn't end up in devotional service, it doesn't have any particular value. But if we take up devotional service, all other 19 qualities automatically develop within us. All other. So there is, in Bhagavatam 5:8-12, there is a verse. So the prayers offered by the residents of Jambudvipa. Please repeat with me. Yasya, yasya, sibhakti.
Bhagavati-yatinshana
Sarvair-gunais Tatra-samasate-surah Harava-bhaktasya Kuto-mahat-guna Manorathenasati Dhavato Bhadi
Yasyati bhakti bhagavati yakinchana.
Yasyati bhakti bhagavati yakinchana.
Sarvai gunai satra samasate sura.
Sarvai gunai satra samasate sura.
Harav bhaktasya kuto mahatguna. Sati dhavato bahihi.
So
Yasya Sri, who has a devotion, akinchana, without motive. So such a person, he, all the demigods with all the divine qualities, they manifest in such a person. Samasate surava. Recite, these qualities recite, samasati. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahatvana. If you don't have any devotion, then where are the good qualities? Then what are you doing? Then just manorathena sati, that means just by mental speculation. And, you know, you're just running around, dhavato, you're just running around here and there, you know. You'll achieve nothing. You'll achieve nothing. You, no qualities, nothing. You'll just, it's just shrama evahi kevalam. That's all. There's nothing else. So from this we can understand that devotion to the Lord is the only alternative. There is nothing else. And not devotional service is the only way. Only way to rise out of this modes of material nature. Only way. Then there's one more verse in Bhagavatam, 1-9. Dharmasya hi apavargyasya natothayopakalpate nathasya dharmikantasya kamo labhaya hi sthitah. Dharmasya hi apavargasya nārthothāyopakalpate nārthasya dharmikantasya kamo labhaya hi smitah. Occupational engagement, dharmasya hi apavargyasya. Apavargyasya means the path to liberation. Dharmasya or occupational engagement is meant only for cultivating liberation. It is not meant for any material gain. But even if you do get material gain, but that should not be used for sense gratification. So this is the real thing. This is the real thing. Nātho yasyeha karma bhihi. All your activity should not be for anything else. Apavargyasya is far for liberation. And pavarga. Pavarga means in this conditioned state of existence. In Sanskrit, pavarga is actually all the consonants which are there, like ta tha ga ga na cha cha ja ja na ta ta da da na pa 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 ma. These are all called consonants, varga. Now, when we have this ka varga, is ta ta da da na. Ta varga is ta ta da da na. Pa varga is pa 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 ma. So this is a conditioned state of existence actually. And apavargyasya is opposite. But what are we doing? I mean, the general tendency is dharmasya or occupational service is for pavargasya. What is pavargasya? Pa is lot of parishram. Pa stands for parishram. It's lot of hard work. You're running up and down like dogs. You can name all the animals like donkeys, horses or anything, you know. And we work like mad actually. Whole day from morning to evening we keep working. For what? It is parishram. Just working. Oh, we are working so hard, you know, I'm exhausted at the end of the day. No time to chant also, you know. It's so difficult. But I'm making a lot of money. What will he achieve with that? When the horses were, horses, they really, they gallop a lot, you make them run, and after some time what happens? Foam is generated actually. Fur. Fur is thinner, foam. Foam is generated. Fur, fur. And then, what do we do with all this parishram? It only increases our bandhan, burr. Fur, burr. Burr is bandhan, attachments. With all this money, what do? We just have, we just want to enjoy ourselves. We increase our attachments. We increase our possessions. We expand our family. So more and more attachments. So it's only we get more and more attached, that's all. What happens? Burr. So now we got a lot of attachments. But the next is what? Burr. Burr is bhaya. Bhaya is fear. So once you have a lot of attachments, obviously there is fear. First of all, we have the fear that we won't get anything. Once we get, then we have a fear that we'll lose it. We'll lose our position, we'll lose our family. So, So, after working so hard, you have so much home generated, you have so much attachments. It only increases your fear, it only increases anxiety, all this civilization. What is happening to it? Nothing. Just birth. And then finally, ma is with you. You cannot escape. And finally, you leave everything. All the parishram is gone with. Everything is gone with. All the earnings, everything is gone with. So, what is the use? This is pavarga. But our dharmasya should not be pavargasya. It should be apavargasya. That is, it should be the path of liberation. And whatever we gain from this parishram, it should not be used for self-gratification. Even in our devotional service, we may gain something. But that should not be used for self-gratification. Never. Even in our devotional service. Nartho yas cheva karma jiva. That is the answer. So, but devotional service is very potent, you know. It gives us liberation. The rest is all shrama evani kevala. That's all. So it's so potent, and it gives us the opulence, you know. Like we just read in this word, yasya asti bhakti, devotional service also gives us the opulence, actually. So devotional service is the opulence of a devotee of the Lord. He doesn't need all this material fame, money, and all this for opulence. This is his opulence. Yeah. So he is not renouncing anything. This is his opulence. So one person went to a sannyasi and he asked him, "Oh, you know, you are really a great person. You have renounced everything in this life. You know, such a nice thing you have done. Not nice thing. Is it you are really suffering? At a young age you have done all this, you have left everything, all your house, family, money, everything, and you left. How come, you know? You are suffering so much, you have taken up so much suffering, austerity." Then the sannyasi, he only realized so, you know, he laughed. And he says, "I have not renounced anything, you have renounced everything, you know. I have the real thing, you know. I have the devotion, I have the names of the Lord." So this is opulence actually. So he is reveling in that opulence. Whereas the other person, he perceives it in a different way actually. So the sannyasi is saying that you have renounced the names of the Lord. You have renounced devotion. You foolish fellow, I have not renounced anything, I have everything, you know. So this is the main thing, this is the realization. This is Shukdev Goswami actually. Shukdev Goswami was fully opulent. It's fully opulent. Now with all these limitations in this world, what else can we do, you know? Nothing much. We can only pray. So Shukdev Goswami is only praying to the Lord. He is always dependent. With all our limitations, what should we do? We must learn to accept. We must learn to accept our limitations, that we are limited. Not like the scientists, you know, who try to create life. They are not accepting the limitation. They think they are unlimited. But we should not think. We should accept. We should accept. And after accepting, what we must do? We must depend upon the Lord. Just like how Shukadeva Goswami is depending. He's not saying that, you know, I am going to speak Bhagavatam, you know, I am going to speak. And then I am going to convince the other person. I am preaching here, you know, to Parikshit Maharaj. And he is learning from me, he's getting the knowledge from me. He's not saying that. He's a realized soul. He says, whatever I am saying, you know, oh Lord, please, you know, make it presentable. Let them receive it nicely. Let them understand it nicely. So this is the mood of a pure devotee of the Lord. So he is showing us actually how to behave. He is compassionate. Vipass in Dubya, Vipassya. So this shows how we must carry out our activities in Krishna consciousness. First remember him before we begin our job. So first we remember the Lord. Then dedicate the activities to the Lord. Whatever you are doing, dedicate it. Ask for his blessing. Then as you are doing the job, keep remembering him at all points. Why you should remember him throughout? And how you can remember him? Important thing is, you require ability, right, to do your job. And ability comes from whom? Ability comes from him. So, if you remember that the ability comes from him, then obviously you remember him. But if we think that we have the ability, we are doing the job, then we are immediately forgetting Krishna. First step, remember Krishna, ask his blessings before we start the job. Second, remember that the ability comes from him. Which is the verse in Bhagavad Gita? 7-8. Rasoham matsukam teya Prabhasmi shashi suryayo Pranava sarva vedeshu Shaptate paurusham vishu. Paurusham. He is the ability in man. So once we do this, and then what should we do? Then the results of our activities. What do? We again depend on him, isn't it? Like how Shukadeva Goswami is depending on Krishna. You know, you make it do work for me, you know, he says. So he depends on Krishna for the results. And whatever Krishna gives, we accept. Whether it is good, it is apparently good or bad. Apparently good or bad. It is always for our good, actually. So if we really have faith in Krishna and we depend on him, then we should realize that what is apparently happening, apparently miserable, apparently good, is always good. Everything is good for us. It cannot be any other way. How can a father wish anything bad for his child? There is no question, you know. There is no question at all. Whatever we get is only Krishna's mercy. So this connection with Krishna is parampara. This is parampara. This material life is like a fire, you know. Like a glowing fire in the forest. And only through the Guru's mercy, you know, he is like a transparent medium, you know, and through the by Guru's words, he is just repeating what he has heard. He is repeating what Krishna has told us. He is giving us the knowledge. So these words, the tears of our hearts, of a suffering person, and removes all ignorance and gives us the knowledge and the happiness. This is what the Guru does. And this is parampara. And this is true understanding. You have to accept. And then you have to depend on the Lord. So there is a song, no? Vaishnava song. Tumi jadi prabhu nahi koro paar ore rasha rakina tuke sagore bosiye. तुम्ही जगी प्रभु नहीं करो पास पूरे रशा राखी ना तो द लॉर्ड डजंट टेक अस अक्रॉस द मटेरियल ओशन वी कैन नॉट क्रॉस इट ओनली ही कैन डू इट फॉर अस थ्रू द गुरु सो दुखेर सागरे बसिए उतारिए जानी ना इन दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड ऑफ मिजरी वी आर जस्ट लाइंग हियर एंड वी डोंट नो हाउ टू क्रॉस इट वी कैन नॉट क्रॉस विद आवर ओन एबिलिटी So even Brahma, in the last week Devaki Prabhu was talking about in the Bhagavatam class, even Brahma, he was looking for some clue, you know, when he just manifested in the lotus stem, he went inside the lotus stem and was looking for clues. But finally only when he meditated, he got inspired. Only when he meditated. And he didn't jump into the water. Like Buddha Ram, you know. Those who attended the last Bhagavatam class can, you know, must have heard the story of Buddha Ram, who jumped into the water to get inspired. You know, and so that he got all the symptoms of inspiration. But Brahma didn't do that actually. He meditated on the Lord, he depended on the Lord, and then he got the realization. Then he spoke the Vedic system. So this is the advantage of Nityam Bhagavata Seva, to get a better understanding. Actually we just conclude with a prayer to the Lord, which I learned from my summer Guru Maharaj. Just the proper conclusion to this verse. Shri Krishna Sharanam Samasta Jagatam Krishnam Vinata Jatihi Krishnena Pratihanyate Kalimalam Krishnaya Karyam Namah Krishna Trasya Sikaladhi Mahujago Krishna Satarvam Vashi Krishna Bhakti Rakhandita Bhavatume Go Krishna Swami Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So Shri Krishna Sharanam Samasta Jagatam Krishna is the only Supreme Truth and there is no one else to whom we can surrender. Krishnam vina ka gati hi. There is no other way but to come to him. Krishnam vina ka gati hi. Krishnena pratihanyate kalimalam. The contamination of Kali Yuga can be removed only by Krishna. Krishnaya karyam namaha. I bow down to his wonderful pastimes. Krishna krasyasi kala bhima bhujago. Even death personifies his head of Krishna. Krishnasya sarvam vashe. Everything is under the full control of Krishna. Krishne bhakti akhandita bhavatume. So we pray that we have uninterrupted devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. Go Krishna tameva ashrayaha. Krishna, and he is our only shelter. There is nothing else and no one else. ہری کرشن نی کمنٹس اور سجیشن
Thank you for a very nice class. I had this question when you were explaining about how when we are working, you were quoting a shloka and then you were translating it by saying that work is the medium through which we can get liberation. But after earning, I mean when we get the rewards in terms of our salary and we should not enjoy it and we should not use it for sense gratification. So the part where he said that we can use the work is a kind of a liberation, you know, it's a pathway to liberation. So we should look at it as this. Can you elaborate it a lot? And also to understand how we can not get entangled by the work and what we do. Because if it is leading to liberation, why do we get entangled?
First of all, if your work is dedicated to the Lord, so that automatically becomes devotional service. Then there is a question of entanglement. There is no question of entanglement. Even the results which you use, if you don't use it only for your sense gratification, then automatically, you know, if you don't use it for that, but see, this is the abhyas we were talking about. Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknoshi mahisthiram abhyasa yogena tato mam ichchaptum dhananjaya. So it doesn't come naturally, actually. I mean, mind is not always fixed, like pure devotees, like Shukdev Goswami, that mind is always fixed on the Lord. Always. Anytime, every moment of the life is fixed on the Lord. Always remembering. For us, I mean for the other normal, I mean other human being, it's very difficult. Other living entities, it's very difficult actually to be, we are not, unless we are totally surrendered, we cannot always remember the Lord. So what we have to do is abhyas. So abhyas is get up early in the morning, you know, do aarti, offer flowers to the Lord, you know, go visit the temple, study Bhagavatam, chant regularly. So this is abhyas. So by doing all these activities, when you are doing all these activities, you are doing it for the Lord. Correct? So automatically when you are doing something for the Lord, you are not doing it for yourself. So when you are not doing for yourself, then there is no question of entanglement. There is no question. So that is why even your occupational duty should be upper gear here. So, can you repeat your question to me? This is one question.
We should treat our occupational duty as a path to liberation that can liberate us.
Yes. Whatever you are doing, whatever activities you are engaged in, whatever activities, do it for the Lord. That is important. Whatever activity, you may be working in your office or any other job, whatever you are doing, dedicate it to the Lord. I am working in the office, there is a laborer working in a, you know, construction site, or maybe there is even a butcher, you know, even he is working. But if he works in the consciousness, see, eventually there will be, you know, Krishna will make arrangements so that your devotional service is even more solidified, it's more, becomes stronger. I don't know whether I answered your question. Is it clear?
So you mentioned about 31.82 12 Bhagavad Gita verses, where it's mentioned many qualities of qualities. These qualities, whatever qualities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, those qualities sometimes we see in non-devotees also. Especially me, I don't have any of those qualities. But we can see those qualities in some of the non-devotees. How we can take it?
What Prabhupada says that that all these qualities, if it doesn't end up in devotional service, it has no value. You may have humility, without Krishna it is no use. You may approach a spiritual master, but if it's not with the aim to surrender to Krishna, it is no use. You may have all the good qualities. That's what the verse in Bhagavatam says, that unless it is dedicated to the Lord, unless it's devotional service, then all these qualities are of no use actually. It's of no use. So it doesn't take you, because all these qualities, it doesn't take you to the Lord. It doesn't take you towards your goal. Because those who don't come to devotional service, that means they have not accepted Krishna. They are not accepted Krishna, and that means they are not going to, they have no idea of surrendering to the Lord, which is the supreme goal, which we read just now in Prabhupada's lecture. So Prabhupada just now said, what is the goal? Now the Shubhananda Prabhu, he wanted to write a book on Vedic psychology, and he said that, that's what Prabhupada clearly asked him, what is your goal? You know, the goal is to surrender to Krishna. So once he said that, then Prabhupada approved. He said, yes, this is the right way to do it. So unless whatever our activities, you know, are not directed towards surrendering to the Lord, then whatever qualities you have, what is the use? So you will, without devotion, where are you? Again, it's just Shramayavai Kevalam, correct? Whatever activities you do is just that much effort. That's all, there's nothing else. You may be the nicest person in the world, but still, you are incurring, there's a lot of reactions to whatever you're doing, and you take birth again and again and again and again. So what do you use? And there's no surrender to the Lord. Where is bhakti? Which should be our goal in life. But if you have bhakti, if you take up this process, automatically these qualities will develop. Otherwise, these qualities you have to endeavor separately. You know, okay. Now I should, you know, be more generous. I shouldn't have pride. I should have humility. All these things. You know, you work on it individually. But if you take up devotional service, these qualities just come to you. Actually, it just comes. And once you get these qualities, Krishna says, "Yo mat bhakta, same priyana." And then Krishna, you are attracting the attention of the Lord, right? So once you become dear to Krishna, that's it. All your problems are solved. Right? You're already dear anyway. But we are only running away from them. Right?
Relating to this questions that have been previously asked, you know, there are a lot of things in Krishna consciousness which we say that it naturally comes, or it's inferred that it naturally comes, but at some point of the devotional service, devotees do tell that you have to do it yourself, you know, you have to be voluntarily performing it in order to get that quality. For instance, you are chanting Hare Krishna. So it's said that by chanting Hare Krishna, you will get qualities like humility and pridelessness and many things. You become peaceful, happy. Cheto darpanavar janam bhavma mahatavani. So we say like that.
But when a sadhaka starts devotional service, then that thing is added. You know, you have to be Trina, the be Sunita, Sarva, the be, no offenses. And you have to cultivate this quality of humility. So, like that, many other aspects are there in devotional service, where the goal itself has to be taken as some means to achieve that goal. So, how do you, what is your opinion about performing devotional service then?
First of all, let me clarify that this is not my opinion. And I hope I don't say anything in that way. I just pray to the Lord. Yeah, it is correct actually. The chicken comes first or the egg comes first, you know. So this is the question which Prabhuji has asked. This quality, the qualities come first, or first we do devotional service and then we get the qualities. The thing is, there has to be some kind of, even to say, for a start, you know, you want to read Bhagavad Gita, okay? So if you want to read Bhagavad Gita, you have to renounce something else, right? Maybe you have to make one Harry Potter movie or something and then come to Bhagavad Gita. So that is some kind of sacrifice involved, actually. So then you come to this stage. Once you read Bhagavad Gita, get some knowledge, then you renounce more easily, you know? And then you read more Bhagavad Gita. Once you renounce more your material activities, then you read more. And if you read more, that leads to more renunciation. So, and then you read more again. And then further more renunciation. So it's a cycle actually. It goes round and round and finally the devotional service only increases. But initially there is a start. I mean there has to be some amount of sacrifice. Your endeavor should be there. So you are still an independent living entity. Due to this conditioning, you have got all these qualities which are not considered favorable to devotional service. So you have got all these qualities. But once you have a little bit of sacrifice is required to get to the Bhagavad Gita and to the instructions actually. Even as you practice, you know, and then it will further, it requires some amount of practice also actually. So, like you said, you should be humble, you know, like, you may say, please accept my humble obeisances, but inside you'll be thinking, you know, what the hell, you know. What does he think of himself, you know. He's not a senior devotee, he just thinks himself a senior devotee, he is very useless, you know. Anyway, whatever he says, I'll just listen, you know. So I won't follow. So, I mean, so this, but we shouldn't have this attitude, actually. So the whole thing is, what is that? Tatvili Panipatena Pariprashtena Sevaya. So, first there should be a submission. So, once there is a submission, then there is an endeavor. After submission, then you endeavor. You know, you have to endeavor, and then automatically these qualities will develop. You will see the transformation in yourself, actually. So, without any endeavor, what is there? You know? I mean, we can't just sit in one place and just assume that, you know, everything will just come, like, you know, automatically, you know, bhakti will just come into me. So that is why Prabhupada has told us a very practical point. This is devotional service, actually. So, while we do this service, it gives us a lot of opportunity to develop these qualities, actually, from a practical viewpoint. You know? We get all these qualities. Just mainly, you know, negating, you know, the, you say, okay, I don't want to be proud, I want to be humble. And if you just say, okay, just like that, just say, okay, I will try to be good and all that, you know. But, and without devotional service, without Krishna in your mind, so maybe you have to endeavor much more. And you may not get the result. But anyway, it won't take you anywhere, actually. It won't take you anywhere. But there has to be an endeavor initially. There has to be. I think it's not so clear. No? I think it's going to be clear.
Actually, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in 2nd Canto, 8th chapter, I think the verse is 4. Text 4, 5, 6. Jiva Goswami uses these three verses as one of the most important three verses to understand how the principle of the devotional service works. And the starting point of this, he actually states, is that we should first start with Shravata, Shraddhaya, Nityam. So the hearing process and having faith in hearing, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam is given. And it should be Nityam, which means it should be regulated and it should be eternal. So the starting point is actually that somehow or another we try to take up the bhakti, devotional service. That's the starting point. But immediately after that, Shrude Goswami tells us in what mood we should do that. So he says, Granatascha Swa Chesitam. And Prabhupada translates very nicely that this Granatascha Swa Chesitam should be seriously by one's own endeavor. So this point that you brought up is very nice. And what Govardhan Prabhu said also is very true. Because once a devotee tries to start his life or restart his life by wanting to please Krishna and to make all his activities centered around somehow or another pleasing Krishna and the devotees, that requires endeavor. So that endeavor actually comes on the platform of the devotional service. So the expert preachers, they always start by telling us, you please concentrate on Krishna. Because it is true, Krishna is the reservoir of even our own endeavors. He is the one who gives us the ability to endeavor. So these acharyas and preachers, they are very expert. They tell us first, somehow or another you please start chanting, you please start reading. Then once we start reading and chanting, then they expertly go on to the second line of the verse. And they tell us, now with your own endeavor, you please become more serious. You please try to renounce some items of your life. You please try and not think that you are the one reading. You please come and do more service. You come and take some nice prasadam. Then, at that point of time, when these two things come together, line after line, then our acharyas assure us, kalena na adididhena. Then in no time at all, Bhagavan Vishate Vritti, the Lord actually appears. He manifests himself in our hearts. And the way the Lord manifests in our hearts is actually found in the verse today. He manifests himself in our hearts by enlivening us. The word starts, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead who enlivens. I'm reminded of Dhruva Maharaj. You remember Dhruva Maharaj was very capable with his own endeavor. On the platform of the instructions of Narada Muni, he started the process of the devotional service. Now after his endeavor and the devotional service, the end result was that he took darshan of the Lord. But at that point of time, his capacity was hindered because he was completely awed by the presence of the Lord. But when the Lord touched him with the shell, his conch shell on his shoulder, he then became enlivened. Sanjeevati, Akila Saktidara Swadhamna. So at the point of the enlivenment, that's where Prabhupada writes in that purport. I think it's in 496. He writes in the purport that actually, without the revelation of the spiritual energy, one is unable to offer prayers glorifying Lord. It's a very nice statement by Prabhupada. Without the revelation of the spiritual energy, one is unable to offer prayers to glorify the Lord. So we may start our endeavor for devotional service, but the acharyas expertly tell us, please use your independence to somehow or another work hard for Krishna. And then the end result will be, if Krishna wishes, he will reveal his spiritual energy, and that will be done by the platform of devotional service. So your point is very true. These two must go hand in hand. Bhakti, which is the platform, and our endeavor, which could have been an endeavor for anything else. Like Prabhu said, we read Bhagavad Gita, we are renouncing something else. We are all here on Sunday, we have renounced something else. Without even thinking about it, we are developing the quality of renunciation. 1,000 times we have to bow before the Lordships. Without even thinking actually, without even knowing, we are actually learning to develop humility. We may have to walk so many times in Vrindavan Dham. Without realizing it, we are actually becoming simple in our life. Otherwise there would be auto and motor car and all these things. So this way, Krishna consciousness aims to develop the qualities in the mankind on the platform of devotional service. The qualities will come with the proper use of our independence. The misuse of the independence may affect the devotional service. But the point of decoration of the statement is nice. We may make statements, but until Krishna comes, the statements are not decorated. So even in our lives also, we may work. But until we put concentration on the work on the platform of devotional service, that work is dead. But the moment we concentrate, as my Guru Maharaj said, if you concentrate hard to satisfy Krishna, that concentration while you are working is your devotional service. It becomes very, very nice. So thank you for raising this point. I hope it is alright for you. The last point. Oh, the last point is, see, this is a problem. What I repeat, I forget. But the last point is that when we begin our day, for example, as Soji said, if we start our day performing nice Mangalarti, we do nice chanting, we do nice offering to the deities, and then we go to work. And at the start of the work, we pray to Krishna the way Arjuna did, that somehow or another, I may or may not like my work, but I pray to you that whatever that I'm going to do today, I want to offer it to you because it is for your satisfaction. Your mind may rebel, Prabhuji. It rebels most of the time. But that's the nature of the mind. Don't worry about that. But we should use intelligence to say that overriding the mind is important. So by praying to Krishna and trying to work for Him, then we concentrate on the work and concentrate very hard to make it successful for the satisfaction of the Lord. Then that concentration is your devotional service at the time of your work. It does not hurt you. It does not put you into difficulty, because Krishna gives you the ability to do the work because you have tried hard in your endeavor to satisfy Him. This is not to say we are not disturbed. If we were not, we are already pure devotees. So we should not expect too many things at one time, but the endeavor brings us to that level at some point if Krishna wants. Otherwise there is no other way to work in this material world. It is the biggest challenge. Every day the battlefield for devotional service is from 9 to 5. Really it is there. If we can somehow remember how Arjuna, despite an entire chapter of resisting fighting, decided to fight for Krishna, then despite that, we may like or not like our work, but either way, somehow or another, we should endeavor to try and offer it to Krishna. There's no other way. Prabhupada said, make the best use of a bad bargain. So the premise is, it's already a bad bargain. Don't try and change a bad bargain to a good bargain, because the nature of material world is to suffer. If we understand that, whatever happens is very nice. You know, it's like we know we're at the bottom of the well. Anything that happens then has to go at the top. So that is very nice. But if we mistakenly think that there is some more to go down, then we are finished.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for clarifying very nicely. So we just have Kirtan now and no prasad. Hare Krishna.